What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny podcast. I'm your host, Nick Scarpino, alongside the second best baby blue eyes in all of San Francisco, Mr. Tim Geddes.
What's up?
And
what's
up, host? It's Christmas in the outdoor mall. Joey Noel is here. Joey, what's going on?
Like Fashion Island, like that outdoor mall? They have a great
That's
Christmas.
Exactly what I thought, actually. Fashion Island was my first thought. Second thought was the outdoor mall near the Kierland in Scottsdale, Arizona. If you've been to that one, say what's up to those very fine people that work at the Starbucks there, because I sat out there for like 2 hours and baked in the heat and then went back inside. This is a couple years ago. This is pre-COVID when you can do stuff like that.
Fashion Island. What a name for a location, for an outdoor mall. I kind of love it.
It's a fancy ass outdoor mall.
Holy shit. Barrett.
Oh, dude, the Fashion Island
is. I'm going to mix through the intro, but then we're going to need to look up fashionisland.com because there is a lot of insanity going on here.
Fashion Island is my favorite thing. You know what else is my favorite thing, Tim? This podcast, which we do here each and every week. We do it a couple times, and it's thanks to the support of you fine people over on Patreon. Want to give a shout out to our Patreon producers, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer and Steve Powers. Remember, if you guys want to submit or be a part of the show, submit questions, yada, 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 go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny. You guys can back us. We've got some banger questions today from people, so I'm excited to get into that with Joey and Tim. But before we do that, a couple other pieces of housekeeping. Monday, if you're listening to this early in the morning, I think this launches on Monday around, 9 a.m. In a few hours. 6 a.m. Pacific. Thank you. Perfect. Kind of Funny is hosting the Marvel's Avengers War for Wakanda launch party starting at 10 a.m. PT over on twitch.tv/crystaldynamics. Greg and Miss Marvel herself, Sandra Saad, will be hosting 2 hours of gameplay, dev insights, and cast interviews. Yes, Black Panther himself, Chris Judge, will be there, and you should too, Monday at 10 a.m. PT on twitch.tv/crystaldynamics. Today, of course, we're brought to you by Canva and stamps.com, but we'll tell you about that a little bit later. Have we looked at Fashion Island? Do we have the aerial photography of Fashion Island? Oh, this is like
what
a dream.
Fashion Island is a dream. Orange County thing ever. The most Orange County thing ever.
Fashion Island is very, like, Tim, so a couple of fun stories of Fashion Island for you. One, I wanted to work there a lot. Like, my goal when I was serving food was to work at the Cheesecake Factory in the Fashion Island because they made bank. There was Cheesecake Factory. There was a PF Chang's right next to each other. I was like, this
California
is
California Pizza Kitchen right there,
there was a
too.
CPK. Yeah, that was like a nice little group. It's dog friendly, so you can bring your dogs there, which is nice. You always
see is that due to the al fresco setting?
It is the al fresco setting. That's not to be confused with the Alfredo setting, which is in Austin, Texas right now. But also more importantly, Fashion Island is house to the biggest movie screen, I think, in like the west of America, like Western United States. It's called Big Edwards.
You're speaking.
Oh, the one that's like across the little like roundabout thing.
Yes. So right? If you click into this, Barrett, if you kind of go down, you can see. Is that where it is? Is that the lot?
This is the lot right here.
Well, the lot, I think, is the. So Fashion Island added Island Cinema when I because I used to live in Corona Del Mar on the like flower streets right there. So we used to just walk to Fashion Island and it was dope. But they added Island Cinema, which was like the first premium theater experience I'd ever been to. Alamo or anything, and it is fancy and expensive.
This one is not, yeah.
Big Edwards, I think, is a different one.
Edwards is totally different. It's weird. I remember them having like two different theaters there, but Edwards was, it's just one screen. It's kind of like the Archlight, I think. I feel like, or the Cinerama Dome or whatever that is.
Ooh, Archlight is over in Culver, right?
I cannot remember. I just know that there's like one big screen in LA somewhere. I think it's on Hollywood Boulevard or not. I don't know. I've never been to it. Okay. But this is what reminds me of, like a big ass standalone theater. And I saw the prequels there. This is where I waited in line to see the Phantom Menace. And I saw the Lord of the Rings trilogy there too, because everyone was like, you got to see it on this big screen. And it did not disappoint. It's to the point where like it slants so far down and comes up a little bit that you lose. You're like, I have to choose which row to focus on because like I can't focus on the whole thing.
Love that.
Oh, we can go.
Let's see if we can see this right here. Let's see if it's there.
Ooh. Oh, tour us through Fashion Island.
Yeah, I think this is definitely the fancy one.
No, this
but
is
you can get like
sure.
You can get they have like really it wasn't salt and straw but it was some other like fancy ass ice cream thing in there, beer. Salt. They have like the nicest leather chairs. I mean, it's like all of this is not as exciting in 2021 when like a lot of theaters have these things, but it is fancy. This is where I saw one of the new Star Wars movies, I think, on opening.
Man, I miss like going down these like hallways where you see like
the smell orange. Of it, right?
Yeah,
the smell, the silence of it. Everything's carpeted and insulated, so you kind of lose. Like, I love that feeling once you go through the doors and they shut behind you, in the hallways. That feeling of like the outside world's gone. You're going into the fun world of movies.
Well, the funniest thing about that
is why it goes so far in these theaters.
This is great.
What are they showing?
This is Infinity War, I think.
You're right.
That's the planet that, yeah.
Titan. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, but they have the, I like the little tables. They slide.
Man, this is the closest I've been to a movie theater in 2 years.
So funny. It's funny. So they just opened a new theater kind of by us, the one we've been going to recently. And what's funny about it is, and I might have even said this already on the show, so I'll keep it brief, but it is located where the Macy's used to be located, like the biggest Macy's that San Francisco had. And I grew up, the mall is like legitimately a block and a half away from my high school. So obviously we all just hung out at the mall all day, every day, which meant a lot of walk. Like Macy's was the easiest entrance to get into the mall. So we would walk through that thing so often, right? And so it's weird now because I'll be like walking into a auditorium for the theater and I'm like, holy crap, this is where I used to buy Mark Echo shirts. Like, this is so crazy.
If you didn't know, folks, of course, this is the Kind of Funny podcast where each and every week, four, sometimes five best friends gather around these podcast mics, each bringing topics just to throw out on the table and see what sticks. We do a couple of these podcasts every week, sometimes with fun guests like Jerry O'Connell or his park. You know, we're trying to get his park back. We're going to just interview the park he sits in all the time. And then, of course, sometimes it's just us four wacky people hanging out. And Barrett's producing today, which is an extra special thing because I don't get to hang out with Barrett that much. So that's pretty cool. Every once in a while, Barrett and I cross in production meetings and I'm like, still alive? And he's like, hanging in there. And that's it. And we just go about our business.
And then I asked Nick, you're still wearing that yellow beanie? And he's like, yeah. And you know
I'm
what, Nick?
The shit out of this yellow beanie, bro.
Dude, I'm going to be honest. You revitalized my love for the beanie.
And beanie boys. Like,
yeah. Can we tell the story, Tim? Can I tell the story?
Please do.
I hit up Tim because I was like, he had some packages that I had to grab from his place. And I was like, hey, man, we haven't done this in a while. And while we still can, you want to hang out and grab some lunch? He was like, yeah, come over. Come pick me up. We'll grab some lunch. And I show up to his house wearing my best blue bonnet. I haven't seen Tim in a while. I was like, I got to dress up for him, Joey. I got to put on my cool Death Eater shirt. I got to put on my beanie, you know, the sexy beanie that I wear all the time. And then I got to put on my nicest blue bomber jacket. And I knock on Tim's door and he opens it up. He's wearing the exact same outfit as me.
Literally the exact same blue bomber jacket with the beanie. And I looked at him like, I'm going to change.
I'm going to go change. I was like, okay. So we're going to look like some weird hipster cult right now. Or like, we'd like to tell you about our cool art project that we're working on. If you guys want to contribute to that, it's called patreon.com/kindoffunny. Go over there, have some fun. Throw us some cash.
That was a top tier transition there, Nick.
Thank you. That was really good. That was so good.
I want Nick that rated in the chat right now, in the comments right now. 10 out of 10.
A quick story I want to tell about this is Nick and I then went to lunch. And afterwards, I was like, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. I'll meet you outside. So I walk in the bathroom. And one of the employees was also in the bathroom. And we both pee. And he finishes slightly before I do, all right? Mm-hmm. Maybe 5-10 seconds before me.
Nice.
There's two sinks. We both go over to the sinks. There's two separate soap dispensers. We both soaping up. He had a little bit of a head start on me to start washing his hands. I'm in there. I want it to be said, not a single word was said between us this entire time, okay? Mm-hmm. Just the two of us in this bathroom washing our hands, right? Start washing my hands, put the soap on, start doing the whole thing, right? Just thinking that I'm looking at him. I start going through this whole thing in my head of like, huh, you know, since he's an employee here, he's probably a little more like self-conscious than I am about this. Like he's gonna want to go like longer than I do. I'm like, that's just kind of weird. Like, oh, I've never had to really think about that because I've never really worked in a food place. But yeah, I would always make sure that I am I wash longer than they do just to make them feel good. And as I'm doing this, I'm like, I've been washing my hands a while now. And then at a point, I'm like, I've never done this long. And I start going through this panicking motion in my head where I'm like, I don't want this guy to judge me. Like, yeah. I need to outlast him.
But then I
was like, but wait a minute, maybe I need to beat him. No. This is funny. I'm going to tell this story on the podcast and I'm just going to outlast this guy. Let's see how long I can get him to keep going. And I'm just freaking going for it, washing my hands. I swear to God, 10 more seconds pass by and I flip on myself again. And I'm just like, I'm going to lose this battle, man. Yeah. I can't last. Like, this guy's built for endurance. Like, holy shit. And then I had to quit. I had to quit. And he just, he stopped. Didn't exchange a glance, didn't exchange a word. We just both walked out. But yeah, that happened. And then you know what? I lost. That's all I need to say to you guys. I can be honest with you.
Do you think in that guy's mind, there was the same raging storm happening.
That was, I don't know,
100%, 1,000%.
He's like, this guy's not beating me to the muster. And like, you do that thing too, where you're like, you start and the water is just a little too hot, but you're like, I can't nudge the water, because if I nudge the water, I gotta touch the knob, and if I touch the knob, I gotta relather
the whole thing over.
The whole relatherment. And this guy, I can take hotter water than this guy can take on my hands, for Christ's sake. I'll be honest with you. I think I'm terrible at washing my hands. I am. There was a comic that had a joke about it the other day. I saw a slot of the joke, but the joke was basically like, ever since like when the pandemic started, I learned that I didn't know what 30 seconds was, because they had, you know, you're supposed to wash your hands for like 30 seconds or whatever it was. And he's like, I've been washing my hands for like, that's it, you're done. But it's true, man. You're in there for a hot second, and I just don't have
the patience. Starts getting weird.
Yeah, I don't know. You know? So if we go to a movie and you share your popcorn with me, Joey, just no. I'm kidding. I actually overwash my hands, which is weird. I don't think it's like a, I don't know. That is the one like weird thing that's happened to me over the course of COVID, because there was for the first like 6 months, everyone was like, you got to wash your hands, can't touch your face, everything's like, it's on surfaces and stuff like that. And I think the science behind that has changed a little bit, but I think I just got in the habit of every single time I come in, I'll wash my hands, right? And then if I touch something that came from the outside, like if I got a bag of food or something, my first thought is, well, somebody else touched this, right? So I'll take all the stuff out of it, wash my hands again, and then I'll eat that stuff. And I know what you're thinking. You touch the outside, then you touch the inside, and the outside's now on the inside. I don't go that far. I'm not that crazy about it, but
you have your own personal limits.
I want to give a major shout out though to the just rampant hand sanitizer that's just kind of standard everywhere now. You know?
Yes, but except by Walgreens has a giant jug of it. And for some reason, it's like one of those weird, like it looks like one of those big ass ketchup dispensers that you see at the movie theaters or like at a carnival. You know, it's got at least 6 inches of play between for the spring. And it's just like, you got to play where your hand's going to be. If you put it right underneath it, it's shooting right past it. So you got to kind of like, where is it going to be and judge and hit it right there. They took like a roll of like tape that you put in the receipt and taped it to it so that people can't depress it all the way down, as if to say,
we don't want you using this.
I don't know. I couldn't quite figure it out why they would do, because it basically stopped you from being able to squirt it, but they still left it out. And then there was a rope around it.
I have a theory. Theory is that the pump tube, not too, actually too intended hard for hand sanitizer. So it's dispensing too much. That's and people possible. Have this whole like handful of puddle. Hand sanitizer. And then there's a puddle, and then people splash slip and slide.
Slip and fall.
And it's that's, a whole thing.
That's actually corona. True. That's yeah. really true. Wow. Oh, man. I got a fun Patreon question to kick everything off with.
Oh, let's go.
Less of a Patreon question, more of a comment that I thought was nice. A lot of people write in, they usually write zany questions, and I've got a few of those for everyone as well. And shout out to everyone that wrote in over the past couple months, because you've been doing a banger job out there with the creativity. But really? I did want to throw this out there. Let's see. Manic Pixel writes in and said, I wanted to pick up on something Greg said on Kind of Funny Games Daily recently. This might have been a little while ago, by the way, because I scrolled pretty far down the list. About being proud of the work KF does. I want to let you guys know the difference you made. Around about December, I split from my partner and returned to living alone. Frankly, during a pandemic lockdown, this sucked, but having your shows on filled my flat with voices and life, so the slow start to the year didn't feel as lonely as it otherwise could have. And I really appreciate that. It's not some big life-changing thing, but in a way, your shows were bringing friendship when no one else could, and it made all the difference. So I wanted to throw out some appreciation for that. Much love to you all. Also, I don't know what madness is going on in this episode, but I want it known that I side with Andy in whatever the argument is. Now, I know you guys thought that was going to be a nice comment, but it is, in fact, we're going to make fun of Andy now, because Andy, great, of course, ongoing battle with snakes.
Mm-hmm.
Losing
so
it.
Many.
It's not going well. This is battle not going well. But all kidding aside, thank you for that, Manic Pixel. I appreciate that. It's nice to hear everyone's in
hell yeah.
Wild. On to the real question we have for everyone. Unless you guys have other stuff you want to talk about, because I got some bangers here, but
bang me up, man.
What about sidekicks? Are we
going to talk about sidekicks? Oh, my God. That's why we started the podcast.
Let me set this up real quick. So, you know, when we did, you know, Cobra Kai has been kind of this slow rolling magic that is kind of overtaking Kind of Funny over time. First, of course, it had Nick Scarpino. It had Nick Scarpino since the 80s, right? He was there from day one.
I was literally born and bred for this series.
Yes. So Cobra Kai comes out. And he's been singing his praises since, you know, before it was cool to do that.
It was on YouTube Red.
Exactly.
And the rest of us were like, no, we are not subscribing to YouTube Red to watch the show.
Well, I was like, I am subscribed to YouTube Red. I'm not watching this show. Like, no. But then I was so wrong. We eventually did Cobra Kai in review, Karate Kid in review. It was such a damn good time. And from day one of watching Cobra Kai, I was like, Joey Noel, this is your show. Like, you, that might seem weird, but trust me, this has such Joey energy. And finally, she started watching it. She's using my watch list I gave her of order of how to watch things, which normally I am always a release order guy for all cases. The only reason there's an exception here is because I wanted her to get to Cobra Kai quicker, because it was less about the Karate Kid and more about the Cobra Kai. But you need at least some Karate Kid to get in there. And Joey's been having this great time. I'm getting constant texts from her giving me updates. But one of the best texts was just a random picture of the Sidekicks poster art from the 90s movie. All right. Sidekicks?
Yeah. I want to say mid-90s. Let's look this up real quick. Sidekicks. It's the 92. So let me go ahead.
Let me backtrack a little bit. One of my most annoying movie habits is if I see somebody that looks like somebody in a movie, my brain will not find a rest until I figure out why I know him or what that person looks like. So I'm watching season one of Cobra Kai and I'm looking at Robbie. I'm like, you look so familiar. Yep. And I can't figure out. So I'm Googling. I'm trying to like find all these things. Very distracting for the actual movie or show watching process. Then I figured out, I was like, I think it's somebody from Neverending Story. So I'm Googling Neverending Story and correct. I'm like, no, it's nobody from the first one. And then I had to go to the second one to find one young Jonathan Brandis. And then I was like clicking around on his stuff. And then I had totally forgotten that he was in a karate movie and it just broke my brain. I was like, this is exactly why I know this face. They are face twins. It's weird. And Jonathan, I still haven't really gotten over it.
It's hard to get over. First off, I love Jonathan Brandis. Neverending Story too, very, very weird. But Sidekicks and back in the day, Ladybugs was my jam. Now, recently,
I've watched Ladybugs.
Not a movie you can make today. Not a movie you can make today. Mm. Not a good movie. That is unfortunately one that doesn't hold up. I tried going back and watching it maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago because I believe it's on Amazon Prime, and I couldn't get through the first like 5 minutes of it. No disrespect to Rodney Dangerfield. All respect, respects due, but this one, I was just like, this one drags a little bit too much. And the plot of Ladybugs is very, very strange. But Sidekicks, Tim, are you familiar with this movie at all?
I am familiar in the way that I would watch this alongside, like almost a double feature with Kindergarten Cop.
Oh my God, yes. They go together like Joey's peanut butter and bread sandwich.
Yes, exactly.
I'm so sad I was out of jelly today.
Joey started this podcast off being like, what are you eating? I'm eating a peanut butter sandwich. What do you mean peanut butter sandwich?
I was so mad about it.
Out of jelly. I'm just eating peanut butter. And you can hear the dryness in her mouth. As she's
the anger in her heart.
Joey, I'm just saying, double down, put those goldfish in the sandwich, see what it does for the sandwich.
No, you know? These are bad goldfish. It's going to just make a disappointing sandwich even worse.
But it could be, maybe the one bad thing plus another bad thing could make a good thing, Joey. It could be crunchy, give a little bit of texture.
No, but
Nick Scarpino from kindoffunny.com.
This is what I keep coming back to. How much is a great joke worth to you? Barrett, if I said to you, we're going to make the best joke ever, is it worth $50,000? Is it worth maybe $100,000 to develop the app that tells you what batch of goldfish is best in your area? I need it. Me and Andy, Joey's an early investor. Andy's an early investor. Tim, do you want to get on this choo-choo train because it's pulling out of the station?
I gotta admit, no, I don't. But I'm very, very proud.
You can. I didn't know I was on this train. And I think it's
Joey, you're on the train. There's no conductor.
Get off now. The choo-choo, it's happening. But I do appreciate it, and I want this to exist. I have never understood you and Andy's fascination. I guess Joey too. you're on that team now, Joey.
I know. I am.
But I've never really thought about it to that extent. Where it's like I've had, you know, certain snacks that are. staler than others or whatever, but I've never thought about like, oh man, this is the batch. And like, I'm not convinced that you guys are right that that's how it works.
You've never had that where you just get like a really good, I feel like it doesn't happen with Goldfish as much as it happens with Cheez-Its, where sometimes they're like too burnt and they just don't taste right. Yeah.
See,
they're perfect.
It's the opposite for me. Sometimes I've never had a Cheez-It that I was like, well, I guess I just don't eat enough Cheez-Its. So maybe I should stay out of that discussion. I've learned over the years being on the internet to not put my opinion in places where I am not well versed.
You've learned that.
Oh, I've learned that. I've learned that over the years. But when it comes to Goldfish, it only has to happen once, Tim. You're mm-hmm. excited, right? You've tried to stay away from these things for the last week. You're like, I'm not going to have any Goldfish tonight. I'm just not going to do it. And then finally you break. You're like, you know, I'm watching Netflix. I'm watching Cobra Kai season 4. I need a little crunch in my life. I got to go out and get some Goldfish. And your normal place is closed, so you got to go over to the Walgreens. Now, we all know the Walgreens, they just, for whatever reason, don't get good batches at my Walgreens. My liquor store is the jam. But you do it anyway. You've been burned a couple times. You get it home. You open it up. You taste the first one, and it does not taste like cheese, and it does not taste like salt. It just tastes like a cracker.
I thought you were going to say it does not taste like cheese. It does not taste like it's.
No, this is the Goldfish. This is the Goldfish. It doesn't taste like anything. They just taste like soup crackers. And which is fine, but that's not what you want. And then you get that good batch. Like, I've actually thrown batches away where I'm like, this does not taste like I want it to. It's not worth the calories. I throw it away. I go to another place, get a different batch. And it hits you with that crispy, cheesy saltiness that you want. And then you can eat them all day.
I believe you. And I'm with you on that. I'm just like, I've had bad batches of snacks. I'm just a little bit less sure of the fact that like you can look at the date of a batch and be like, the October 15th batch is mm-hmm. going to be consistent across other things to the point that you can make an app to as a service to people.
That's why you're missing the point. So here's the thing. It's twofold. It is the date and the geolocation of where you bought them.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming Pepperidge Farms. Pepper, listen here, Tim. Mm-hmm. you and I can't understand the vast complexities that is Pepperidge Farms. We can't understand it, right?
You're right.
You're looking
the empire.
The mm-hmm. empire, right? If the Forbes Fortune 500 list, it mm-hmm. goes Amazon, Tesla, Apple, right between Apple and Tesla, the Pepperidge Farms.
The Pepperidge Farms, yes.
Right? It's PFMs on if you're trading it on the stock market. Yeah, so you know what I mean? If you want to get out there, you want to buy some shares.
PFMs.
Zems. You know, they always do that with weird, with like Apple's like APL. You're like, why didn't you put another fucking P in there? It's weird.
You're so close.
So close. But yeah, you never know, man. It's just, I feel like we start local, San Francisco alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you get it? What's the batch on it? And then it's maybe three little ticks where you go like, does it have good crunch? Is it too overcooked? Does it taste like cheese? And then what's the salt level? Where's the salt level?
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell. This is the October 17th batch.
And they're rubbish, right?
They're not crunchy enough. They feel stale even though I just opened them literally probably, 45 minutes ago? Not doing it on the crunch factor.
Yeah.
So the other thing too,
go for it, Jerry.
Tim, is mm-hmm. that you're missing, we haven't reached the R&D part of the app.
Yeah,
we need to do some research and development on it, which is the taste testing the batches, making cross-referencing them, making sure that our hypothesis is correct. You know, so that's what part of the seed money is going towards.
Exactly. See, here's the thing. Let me, I'm the business guy, right? Let me mm-hmm. make the phone calls and make you guys some money and hopefully get some better Cheez-Its and Goldfish in your life. All right. Mm-hmm. Here's what we do. We don't have the means to make an app. All we got is a few good men and women that really care about their cheese snacks. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we know that we have the best in the business when it comes to that. I've never seen a tongue like Andy's. Like, he can just be there, even just a little, two little sniffs, and he knows what's going on with these goldfish, right?
Yeah, the air around mm-hmm. the goldfish.
So I feel like all we need is the three of you, Joey, Nick, mm-hmm. and Andy, to mm-hmm. become the designated voices. You are the ones that get to choose what standards we're looking for, like what is good mm-hmm. and what is bad.
Yeah,
everyone else could have their opinions around that, but that's the gold standard. Then fuck an app. Let's take this, let's cut out the middleman and go mm-hmm. straight to the upper management middleman. Let's go straight to Waze. Waze already has an app. Let's sell them this idea, sell them the gold standard,
okay,
and all of a sudden it's user generated. We'll have people from all over the goddamn planet.
First off,
I was like, are we getting it?
first
are we getting directions to the correct bags?
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot to unpack here. This is I love everything that's happening here. Mm-hmm. First off, are we calling the app the gold standard? Because I am fine with that.
I mean, that's pretty damn good.
Fine with that.
That's pretty
good. We call it the gold standard.
But here's my thing. Forget the app. Sure. Okay. You know what?
No.
We need to remember that.
Sorry.
We need to remember the app.
Let's back. Why I'm saying the app first. We build up the audience to the app.
Exactly. Right?
We get the 10,000, 20,000 people that we have on the app.
User base.
Then we immediately sell out.
Immediate
sell out to Waze.
First buyer.
Or the first buyer. I don't care if it's a competitor who's just buying the app to shut us down. Because we're, of course, by this point, we're getting sponsored by Pepperidge Farm and Goldfish and all this, of course.
Like, we can't be in the pocket of big Pepperidge Farm, though.
Can we not?
I'm okay with it. Here's the thing. Oh, see?
Why? Because of our journalistic integrity?
Yeah. We can't be bought by these companies to be like, hey, all the batches are good.
No. It's the opposite, in fact. You guys create the gold standard, and to your heart, the journalistic integrity, everything has to be absolutely perfect there, right? You never sell that out. But you need to make the gold standard very specific so that it is rare. That is going to make the PFM's stock plummet. The world, once they find out about this app, they're going to be like, wow, there's not many gold standards. What's wrong with Pepperidge Farms, right? Their shit's going to go down. They're going to buy us out just to shut us up. We use that money to invest in the app. Then we actually have the app of the gold standard. Then we're back in business. We're directing people where they need to go to get them cheese-flavored snacks in their bellies. Then we sell that to Waze. And can you imagine this? Can you imagine looking at the Waze thing?
Yeah.
It's telling you where all the cops are. And then around specific 7-Eleven. It
tells you where to get the good bag of Pepperidge Farms.
Just a gold ring around the different liquor stores that have a good batch right then. There's a lot going on here,
but I think we
can get it done. Give me nine months and we'll be making a profit.
I feel like I want to do this. I feel like it's there. And I feel like all of the things you just said, while overly convoluted and completely ridiculous, I'm 100% in for. And I feel confident that I can sign Andy up for this as well. I don't know if he's ever coming back from Texas or this ongoing battle he has with these pythons that he's fighting, but I'm pretty confident he wants it on this because, you know, he's making that sweet, sweet Nitro Rifle merch money now. And I think that's a little seed money he could throw out into the pot. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Throw it into the pot for us.
With that.
I just want to get people the good
batches. Do you think that the snakes are biting Andy because he doesn't have enough like quality cheddar cheese in his system right now?
I've heard, you know, the Texas rattlesnake is what they used to call Stone Cold Steve Austin. So if I know one thing about Texas, it's that they have rattlesnakes. What do rattlesnakes do, Joey?
They rattle.
Thank you very much. I don't think that Andy has actually been attacked yet. I think he's just in a standoff with a lot of rattling going on around him right now. So it's like that's what's holding him back from coming here. He's not ready. He's not prepared. But he is going to be signed in for this. We would give him a call right now, but I don't want to, you know, turn that rattling into some biting.
He might be sneaking around the bush of Texas right now, trying to get away from a snake. And if you know, this is that moment in Don't Breathe where like the cell phone starts vibrating and he starts just shooting at things. By the way, very excited to see that second movie tonight with you all. That's gonna be fun. Spoilers for everyone. We saw it last week, but now you're listening to this on Monday. That's how time works.
Spoilers. We saw it. The lamest spoiler of all time, especially because we haven't yet.
Tim, don't spoil this. Maybe time does suck.
Yeah.
There's time annihilation happening all around us. I like to think that the snakes are picking on Andy for the same reason why you pick on your bigger brother. Cause he's just there. You know, I just imagine there's a snake that just pops up and just nudges Andy occasionally. He's like, come on, stop. Andy's trying to play Hyperlight Drifter on his freaking PSP or whatever system that game's on, and they're just annoying the shit out of him.
Love you.
I digress. I'm finding another Patreon question for us right now so that we can go into it. South Bay Adam asks, if you could exist in the MCU or DCEU, which would you pick, and why is it the DCEU? Now, Tim, I know you have a real ass answer for this. But I wanted to answer this one real quick, and then we can open this up if you want to talk about this. Both of these worlds are nightmare worlds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
These are horrible, horrible existences if you are a normal human being to exist in. I wouldn't want to be in either of them, personally speaking. One of them, you have a 50% chance of being blinked out of existence, potentially for good. And in the other one, massive bug beetle things. 50%
chance your mom's named Martha.
That's true. And how There's nothing more confusing than you're at a store with your mom. You're like Martha, and 50% of the people in the store turn around like, are you talking to me? Are you talking to me, Martha? No, the other, oh, no. What have I forsaken myself to?
Why are they all here at the same time? Did you all use the app and know the good batches at this liquor store?
I'm telling you right now, dude, there's two apps that I've wanted to make for the longest time. Mm-hmm. One of them is obviously for the greater good of humanity. And the other one's just so I don't have to be so embarrassed that I'm going to poop in a Starbucks. And that is the Starbucks bathroom code app. I've always wanted to just have the app where you don't have to ask for it. If you've got the app, people, it's user generated. So here's the app for the Starbucks on Union and Laguna or whatever it is. And the you know, it says key, or it says you don't need a key, or it says here's the key code app for it. And it's up to date. And I think that would really save me a lot of stress because I hate getting the drink and then remember, and then feeling, oh, the second I smell, I'm like, I gotta poop. And then I look over, I'm like, now I got to cut in front of the line. But like, dude, what's the bathroom code? And they always do this, Joey. Oh, it's, are you ready for it? Yeah, I'm ready for it. It's 1-7-8-4-9-8-4-3. I'm like, why is there a pause?
Why is there a pause in between numbers? Like, I had a mnemonic device and now it's all gone.
I saw a guy go. They were like, it's 1-7-8-4-7-3. And he goes, and I'm like, he's coming back. There's no fucking way. I'm like, that guy's coming back. And it's sure as shit. 10 seconds later, he's like, what the fuck was it again? And he had his phone out in his notepad. He's like, I'm going to put it in my notepad because I'm going to remember it. Oh, what a weird world that is.
Can you not just wait till you go home to poop?
No, because sometimes
do I need to know this? I don't know.
This is, yeah, you can ask me these questions, Joey. It's okay. We're on a podcast right now. When you're on a podcast, no subjects are taboo.
Yeah, I know that, but there's also just like a, do I need to know this information about you? Like, why am I perpetuating this part of the conversation?
It's not, I don't go to the Starbucks to poop. It's not like I don't go there specifically to relieve myself and then I leave. I like to hang out at Starbucks.
Go relieve and leave.
And I like to use I pee a lot. And so I end up having to go into the bathroom. But also I love that Starbucks adopted the single, like all gender, like neutral gender bathroom a long time ago. And that is one of the reasons why I support them. Now, I don't think they did it politically. I just feel like their bathrooms, someone that drank a lot of coffee was like me. Was like, I'm going to need to poop. And I just simply don't want to be around other people while I'm doing it. And you go in there and it's all white. And it's
a private oasis.
It's a private, it's tile everywhere. So no matter what happens, you can wash it off easily.
There's only one person in there. So you're never going to get caught standing next to a guy washing your hands in the sink and it turning into a big contest.
Exactly. And as you know, standardized in all Starbucks bathrooms are the great toilet. The one that sounds like a cougar when you flush it, you know, it just goes all the way down. It's great. It's confidence. It's confidence inspiring.
This is a confident toilet, Joey.
Because like how like you ever go to like a local place and you walk into like a local coffee shop and you look and someone's clogged the toilet and you're like, well, I'm not dealing with this. This is a horrible thing these people have to deal with, but I'm not going to help this. Never happens at Starbucks. Never once.
I lost the narrative here. What does this have to do with living in the MCU or DCEU?
You know, it's interesting. Like thinking about it.
Think about it.
I feel like just from a pure trying to be safe standpoint, you're probably safer in the DCEU.
Really?
Really?
Yeah,
I'm just thinking.
Yeah, because I am there so far in the DCEU, there haven't been too many events that have even happened. And most of them seem to be in a very small little area. Yeah, MCU is like worldwide in a different way. Right, like Metropolis, Gotham, you're fucked, right? Like depending on DC,
stay out of Metropolis, you're fine.
They're right next to each other.
Oh, you stay out of Gotham. Gotham's where all the crazy shit happens. Well, I feel like
right? They're right next. They're like next to each other.
They're across the bay from each other. They're across the bay.
So yeah, it's like
it's basically Oakland and San Francisco.
Yeah, and then you know we got Themyscira and shit. They got their own thing going on, whatever. But it's like the MCU. It's like there is very few places that you're safe. I mean, like they've even fucked multiple times now with like Ohio. You know?
Yeah, I know. And that's where I'm from. Like, think about like all my family members over there who are like getting fucked over by random dudes pulling up to their houses and just killing them.
Russian spy situations or ego. I don't remember where Ego took over in Guardians 2.
No, but like, that wasn't Ohio. That was
like Cincinnati, Wisconsin?
No. It was wherever his mom was from, and they were like Kansas or some shit.
Yeah.
It's like a middle of America type place, right? Yeah. Where it's like, it's not just the multiple San Franciscos or the multiple New Yorks or the blah, 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 or like the, you know, exotic worldwide places that we see in a lot of the films. Oh. But it's also like, there was some cataclysmic events going on in small towns. And I feel like so far, I might not be thinking this through enough, but like, we haven't seen much of it in DCEU. And most problems are handled. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you're right. There is the Smallville situation.
But but that's the thing is, like, obviously MCU, we've seen a lot more of it, right? We've had way more movies than that. Mm-hmm. And so they've gone from city to city to city, but the whole world has been just decimated at certain points. I mean, just even where Endgame starts and you're like, wow, every place sucks right now. Like they show that shot of San Francisco. And it's like, there's cars everywhere. You want to go get a cool car, go out there, go outside. No one's going to stop you. They don't give a shit. But I just can't help but feel like the MCU would be more exciting to live in, because at least there's more opportunity for you to become
a superhero. Yeah, and there's also, it's like MCU is almost like a higher risk but higher reward. Because like, even if you're just like a normal person living in the MCU, there's like advancements in technology that seem to like really help out a lot of people and stuff like that. Whereas just like the DCEU just kind of looks like a shittier version of our real world besides the superheroes.
That's a perfect way to put it, right? Because I feel like, realistically speaking, I will never have the skills to be like a high level top tier Marvel character, but I do feel like that in MCU, I could probably buddy buddy up with Pym and become like Ant-Man. I think he would let me be Ant-Man.
You think that you could be Ant-Man?
What is so special about Paul Rudd in Ant-Man other than here are his main attributes. He's tall.
Attributes.
And he's charming. He doesn't know anything else beyond that.
Okay, Nick.
I got I got one out of two.
Okay. But Tim, you're missing the point.
It's Ant-Man, not tall man. He doesn't have to be tall. I can be Ant-Man. I can be small. Like, look at him. Right. You look at him out of the room. You're in the Avengers. You're the first Avenger ever, right? You're like, hey, I got advisors to the Avengers table. Yeah, he's jacked
out of his mind. Only Nick Scarpino's pitch would be like, okay, you know how this Paul Rudd's Ant-Man. I'm going to be smaller Ant-Man.
All I'm saying is this. You go to the party. It's the Avengers party, Joey. And you're like, I'm not. And someone goes, which one's Ant-Man? You go, I'm not sure. You see Chris Hemsworth. And then you see fucking me standing there. You're like, probably that guy. That guy's probably Ant-Man. Holy shit, Joey. Did you see the picture of the Hemsworth brothers playing in a waterfall?
No, I didn't. But I'm going to ask this question anyway. Oh, since you're calling me. If Nick was Ant-Man, would you just use your sizing powers to just be 6 feet at all times?
I would do it. And I say this with all honesty. Just a little taller than Tim. Just a little taller than Tim.
You but then when I'm around Greg too.
When I'm around Andy, just a little bit tall. Look at this fucking picture.
This is how I think me and Kevin look when we're playing in the water.
This is how I wish I looked. So this is Liam Hemsworth and Chris Hemsworth for audio listeners playing in a waterfall. And it was a happy birthday from Liam to his brother, Chris. And I didn't know this, but I think Liam's actually taller than Chris. He's 6'3".
I'm on it.
Look up how tall the brothers are. Cause I think Liam's Hemsworth. Actually taller than his brother. At least he looks that way in this picture. It's so impressive.
Liam Hemsworth, 6'3". Chris Hemsworth, 6'3". Luke Hemsworth, 5'9".
Oh, poor Luke. He got my
joke. Miley Cyrus, 5'5".
Are they still
the whole family in there? No, I don't think so.
My man, when Liam was there, my son was like, "You were right, bro." Did they get?
They got married, I think. Right?
Did they get married? I think they got engaged and then they broke it off.
No idea.
I don't know, man. I'd date Miley Cyrus though.
Oh no, they were married 2 whole years.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
That's nice.
You know what else is nice, ladies and gentlemen? Our sponsors. Let me tell you about them right now.
This podcast is brought to you by Canva. Guess what? You see all the cool stuff happening and Kind of Funny all the time, the new motion graphics from Tim or from Roger or from Nick or whatever. Guess where they learn to do a lot of that stuff, the new stuff, because they had basic skills before, but not expert skills. They've been learning it from Canva. Canva Pro is the easy-to-use design platform that has everything you need to design like a pro. No matter what you're creating and sharing, Canva Pro has everything you need in one place, including a collection of over 75 million premium photos, videos, audio, and graphics. Plus, Canva Pro comes with time-saving tools that simplify and speed up the creative process. Just go to canva.me/kindoffunny to get your free 45-day extended trial. That's canva.me/kindoffunny, canva.me/kindoffunny. Our next sponsor is Stamps.com. If you know anything about Kind of Funny, you know we've been using Stamps.com for a long time. When Joey was sending out a whole bunch of Patreon stuff way back in the day at the office, she had to start using Stamps.com because we were using so many stamps and it's easier to use stamps with Stamps.com. You can mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer, send letters, ship packages, and pay less, a lot less, with discounted rates from USPS and UPS. Stamps.com saves businesses thousands of hours and tons of money every year. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving nearly 1 million small business owners like you time and money. And with their switch and save feature, you can quickly compare carriers to find the best rates every time. Stop wasting time going to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk, and with our promo code KINDOFUNNY, all one word, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments and no contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type KINDOFUNNY, all one word. That's Stamps.com, promo code KINDOFUNNY, Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again.
Okay, we're back. Nailed Someone it. Asked, would I be taller than Greg? 6'4". No, it's too tall. Only
my I mean,
6'5" is too tall. It's too tall.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't know if you'd want to be taller than Greg so that you could like make fun of him for it.
No, Greg, I go the other way with. Greg, I go the other way with. Where I'm so short, I can sit on his shoulder and just hang out with him no matter where he goes.
Oh, shit.
Exactly.
Can you imagine Nick as a parrot, Joey?
I'm just a parrot right here. And then when he's doing PS I Love You or Gamescast or Games Daily, whatever show he's hosting, and I think he's saying something like, oh, I'm talking about my PlayStation Vita, I'm just going to start sleeping on his shoulder so the audience knows that I'm bored.
There is nothing that I hate love more than the idea. I take back the parrot, not the parrot. I don't want to go with the parrot. Little devil Nick
mm-hmm.
on your shoulder. Yeah. Because that implies the existence of little angel Nick.
Yeah. I'll walk across your shoulder. And when I think you should do something, I'll be like, you're doing the right thing. And then when I think that you should do, like, you're doing the wrong thing, I'll be like, do it. It's always the emperor voice.
Always. Yeah.
Do it. Right, Barrett? Do it.
Do it.
Man, I still fall down the rabbit hole watching stuff on Star Wars. don't even bring that.
Here's the thing: Tim and I and Roger, again, spoilers, mm-hmm. spoilers, guys. We're gonna be watching Bad Batch tonight, and then we're gonna review season one of Bad Batch tomorrow. And like, I've been enjoying Bad Batch. Like, I've been enjoying the week to week watching it. But even just like, it's not even like more of a comment on Bad Batch, but just Star Wars as a whole. Like, I'm Star Wars out. I'm gonna be honest.
It's a lot of Star Wars, dude.
Yeah, it's and no, it's, we still got Boba Fett, I think, later this year. Like,
oh, we got a lot.
And but I also did the sin of like also rewatching all of like Star Wars earlier in the year. And once I was done with that, I was like, I don't know if I ever want to do this again. I don't know if I ever want to watch Star Wars again.
Well, it's interesting because Star Wars, I always feel like, I mean, there's stories to be told there, but somehow on the Marvel side, because we started watching What If this week, and if you guys want to watch our opinions on that one, you can check that out. It's up there, but. I'm liking it. I'm like, wow, they just have so – spoilers, we watched it 2 weeks ago. but I think they just they're finding it, man, somehow on the Marvel side. That What If series, I'm like, this has something special to it. I'm liking it a lot.
So interesting. I was way lower on What If than any.
Really?
Yeah.
I just like cartoons, man. I just like good cartoons. I think there's like a glut of like a cartoons made for adults. And I know that's kind of a silly oxymoron, but it's like not.
There is, though.
Because you can do cool shit.
Rick and Morty, Archer, like there, I feel like there's more animated adult but those stuff are, now than there's ever been, right?
But Rick and Morty and Archer are comedy. Those are parody cartoons so you want made
drama.
For adults. I want real ass cartoons that use the medium to make cartoons to tell cool stories that aren't wink, wink, nod, nudge, nudge. We know we're making you like we're making like South Park. I don't put in the same category as What If. I like these cartoons because for the same reason I like the DC animated movies. They treat them like real movies and real shows. They're just animated, which I think is cool. Recently, I started watching Primal on HBO Max. Have you guys watched this at all?
Oh, it's that's animated.
That's Genndy Tartakovsky.
Oh, like, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Dude, that's kind of like the
unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
I hear it's kind of like the spiritual successor to like what season 5 of Samurai Jack did, where it's just like super fucking crazy and just all out gore and stuff. Right?
It's very intense.
Yeah,
and very violent. Very, very violent. But I was like, I watched like 3 episodes of it. And I was like, this is cool, man. I'm definitely going to keep going through this series.
Joey, what was your take on What If?
So I thought it was very fine. I didn't think it was particularly great. I think it's part of it that it's rehashing like a very, at least for me, well-known story, even with the changes and stuff like that. My biggest issue, though, is that, and like, this is all coming from me, number one Bucky Barnes fan, Joey Noel. I know, shocking.
Is that what
we're saying now? His voice acting, please help him. I love
him. Oh, is he not good at like voice acting his own character?
No, he's terrible.
And like,
that sucks.
Which we knew was going to be bad from the leaked video that they put out a couple weeks ago. And as soon as I saw it, I texted my friend Carolyn. I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. This is not great. But I also didn't love that it's like Bucky pulling Peggy away after the, I guess, spoilers for this avalanche thing, because there's no way that Bucky, like his best friend, is going to be pulling Peggy Carter, who's like devastated after knowing Steve for 3 weeks. That didn't feel like a character moment that I thought was correct. And I don't know, that was a personal.
Interesting. I think that's a product of the show just moving so quickly, which I think was the big criticism that all of us had, was it was just, it feels like they needed more time to let the episode breathe. And I understand where they're coming from, because they're like, we are in fact remaking.
I disagree with that totally. I think that like any longer would have just been retreading too much. Whereas like,
I don't know.
I was greatest hits to be able to get to the new stuff.
I was just, I don't know. I was enjoying it so much that I would have sat through an hour long episode. I would have. I think I could have done that. And I think it could have been cool, because I thought they were nailing it more often than they didn't. And I think all the action, you know, to me, it's always like, do you have good voice acting? Are there good moments that hit? And there were. And then is the choreography interesting and fun and something I've never seen? And spoilers, we watched it 2 weeks ago. Her going through the cockpit of the bomber was
incredible.
Like, that's fucking really cool. Yeah. That is super cool. I giggled to myself when I saw that, because that was an inspired choice for that stuff. So I'm looking forward to more of it.
I think there's a really interesting conversation here, like taking it out of What If, kind of back just to the idea of cartoons and like the cartoon drama versus comedy and all that. And like, it gets complicated, because at some point it's like MCU movies aren't comedies, but there's a lot of comedic elements, and that's kind of what makes them what they are.
Yeah.
And to, you know, kind of just modern
action adventure movies. Yeah, exactly.
But with animated versions, that what the one-liners and the quippiness and all that stuff, for some reason, I think it's because oftentimes cartoons have less runtime. Mm-hmm. Like everything, the pacing is just different. So the one-liners feel like the point as opposed to the cherry on top.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've always kind of had an issue with adult cartoons or cartoons that can kind of work for both. And I mean, at the end of the day, MCU movies can work for kids and adults as well. But for all of the stuff, even whether it's Invincible, which is obviously not for kids, much for adults, it being a cartoon, it being animated, I still do feel, and I'm going to get a lot of shit for this, it's lesser than. It can do so many more things budget-wise, but there's still a quality to the dialogue and the way that conversations happen and the way that it's written that I don't even think you could solve by writing it like a movie. Like, I don't think you could just take a movie and then just animate it with the performance that was given in a movie and have it feel right. Yeah. So I don't know what it is that would need to happen, but it's like, especially even with the Star Wars shows, the cartoons, there's a lot of really great characters. There's a lot of really great story, but there's a lot of filler no matter what. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know that you can get away from that. And I don't think I've ever seen a cartoon. I think people could bring up anime. I think anime has its own set of issues
A lot of filler in anime too.
Ton of filler. But even like, if you were just cut to just straight the, like just the story, or like the, even some of the better anime that are like lean, there's still like a, I don't want to use the word tropiness. It's more like a understanding of how it works, and characters only speak this way because this is the world that they make, that wouldn't work in other mediums. And that's cool. Anime is what it is. It doesn't need to be something else. But I wish that there was a more, to Nick's point, kind of like adult cartoon that worked as well as the MCU movies do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that we'll ever get there.
Yeah, I mean, probably not. I mean, I think what you're describing is just the medium in general. You it's very difficult to have that wonderful chemistry you have with you know, live action stuff, you know. And I think that's why, I mean, when you want to start kind of like getting to the heart of what Marvel's good at, they're really good at putting charismatic people together and telling those character stories and letting them have that chemistry on screen. Like the Russo brothers are so good at just finding those moments that work. And you want to say work, I mean, like, you go back and watch Endgame, and it's like everything hits. Now, of course, that's Endgame. I can show you like 5-6 other movies that don't work, right? But then you watch Suicide Squad, and I love James Gunn. I do. But a lot of those moments didn't work. Like that's, but that's just James Gunn's style, right? I don't know. I'm getting away from myself here, but I just feel like it's hard to get that chemistry with maybe Haley Atwell had to record one day, and then the guy that played Chris Evans had to record a different day. You have to manufacture those sometimes with animation, and so you don't get that. But you do get the trade-off of being able to do very, very, very dynamic action set pieces that are way harder and way more expensive to do in motion pictures. So I don't know. That's why I like them. That's why I
love it too. But what's interesting about that is I think that sometimes that almost can take away from it, because there's a groundedness of it being real. So that when you see the action and create, like when you see the opening of Winter Soldier and Captain America is on that boat running with the shield, jumping down things, like fucking people up. Kind of like virality to it, that like vivaciousness that you're just like, holy shit, this is crazy, that actually feels real. Whereas like, you know, Captain Carter like flying through the whole thing like fucking things up is cool, but I don't get the same sense of like this is a person doing it, right? Again, that's not necessarily a problem, but like it takes you out of it more. And in live action, not to say it's perfect, that's where CG falls apart, right? When the CG doesn't add up to being this grounded thing, it takes you out of it and you're just like, this isn't right, there's something wrong here.
But dude, I just threw some shade at Suicide Squad, by the way. I love Suicide Squad, but I'll tell you, we're at a point right now though where Suicide Squad was the first movie where they had, that I can remember in a long time, where they had a character that was all CG. I guess Rocket was there too, but Rocket kind of, I don't know, didn't take up as much screen real estate as King Shark. But man, my brain was like, I had to remind myself, that's not real. It just, Thanos. It kind of worked. Thanos worked too. Thanos did work. But Thanos wasn't too, like, right? Hanging out. And like, like you didn't feel bad for Thanos for having the dad bod and being left behind. Like, I don't know. I think they did. We're just at a point with that CG where it's like, we've broken through, man. We've crested. And they can make a walking, talking shark, like trick my old dumbass brain. They can do anything.
I mean, we're one step closer to actually pulling off de-aging and all that stuff, you know?
I never want that, though. Well, the de-aging stuff I don't mind so much, except we can all agree on a handful of things, guys, of course. The de-aging in The Irishman, the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Second, the worst thing, The Departed.
God damn it.
What I don't want.
I knew you were going to say that.
What I never want to get.
So long without talking about that.
You never die. Never let die. It's on my Netflix queue, and I'm like, no. I'm not giving you the view. I'm going to keep this.
Why
on my
is it in your queue?
Because I'll tell you why. Because I want Netflix to know that I know that it's there, and I'm not watching it.
I hate you.
Perfect. Also, I want to watch it again. I'm going to watch it again eventually. I may have given it a bum deal. I don't know.
That might be a good movie night. I'm just going to pull that out there.
The Departed.
Yeah.
It could be a good movie night. I tell you what, though, I've been enjoying the movie nights we're doing. I think we got one more coming up this month, and I think I'm going to show Snowbike Mike Lethal Weapon. I think that's going to be...
Oh.
He hasn't seen a Lethal Weapon movie yet, so he saw The Last Boy Scout, which he liked, which was another Shane Black movie, which is a buddy cop, sort of buddy, like, action-adventure detective drama thing, which is Shane Black's kind of nom de plume. But the original one was Lethal Weapon, and it doesn't, you know, I think he's going to enjoy it. We'll see.
We'll have to see.
We'll have to see.
I don't want to show Snowbike Mike Speed. It seems like a more fun.
When are we going to get a Speed 3?
Never.
Like, that's a great question.
Really? Okay. Like, see, Speed's one of those movies where I didn't have an older brother or sister. So I was kind of the person that had to find things to deliver to my brother, right? And Kevin and all of that. Right. So it's like there's this whole era of 90s movies that I've just never really understood. So just whatever my parents rented from Blockbuster, I just assumed was like the cool hotness and like what adults thought. And like,
was with your Father of the Bride tweet?
100%. Like, I was convinced that Father of the Bride was like the peak of cinema because, like, I swear to God, my mom and dad rented it multiple times. It must have just been like the whole, like, the sequels and stuff.
I mean, first off, no, Father of the Bride, very, very well respected in the cinematic critique universe.
Good. But Austin Powers is another one I put in that list where I remember my dad renting that for the first time.
Never watched those.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, that's a conversation for another time. But
you should watch them just for Will Ferrell. Sorry, go ahead.
Speed was one where I was just like, I thought that was like, you just don't get fucking better than Speed 1 and Speed 2 Cruise Control. Okay,
I've never seen Speed 2.
Well,
I've never seen either of them.
Oh my god!
We really?
Tim, maybe we'll do Speed instead, and you can come on this movie night. Speed One is a damn revelation. Okay, nobody saw this coming. Everyone was like, "Look, I can't remember. I think he did Point Break before he did Speed," and everyone's like, "Cool, that was a fluke. That was a fluke. There's no possible way Keanu can get us that excited ever again about an action adventure movie." And then someone was like, you think watching Keanu on a wave is awesome? Why don't you watch him in a bus for 2 hours? And I'll tell you this right now, dude. Tim, Speed One is fucking awesome. It's a slap, dude.
Real talk.
It's like, Die Hard on a bus.
Where's Speed 3? Like, I feel like we are primed and ready for that. For them to just be like, yo, well, Speed is back and faster than ever before.
The only way they can bring it back, though, is if one of the E's is the 3.
Barrett,
that's 100% has to happen. But here's the real talk behind Speed 2, and I'm half talking out of my ass, so please feel free to Google this and or correct me in the comments below. But Speed 1 starred Keanu Reeves. He didn't come back for the sequel, which is what killed the franchise. So remember Jason Patrick, I think his name is Jason Patrick, the guy from The Lost Boys, ended up being, he stepped in as the role of I forget the character's name, but Sandra Bullock came back for it. And then Keanu Reeves just went on to other stuff. I don't know to this day why he didn't come back for it. It might have just been like he couldn't get the deal he wanted or something like that. Or he was working on Matrix or something. I don't know. But Speed 2 happened, and it was Speed on a boat, and it was not very good. But it does end with the boat crashing into the pier of Santa Monica, I think. So
I want to do this. I want to do two things right now. Barrett, there are two videos sent to Assets. One is one that Joey sent that we have to watch and talk about.
Okay.
And then I was like, is there a Speed 3 that we just don't know about? Like, it's like some straight to streaming or some shit.
Maybe.
And I Googled it. There's not. But there is a fake movie trailer for Speed 3 Flight Risk that is 2 minutes. And I skimmed it for 1 second. I stopped. I'm like, we are watching this live.
Okay. I love that.
So first, let's look at what Joey said. And Joey, you want to?
Oh, yeah. So this was going around Twitter a couple weeks ago or whatever. So apparently there's this Australian theme park called Movie World.
This is amazing.
And so they the comments really are what's funny. It's like, I just love, because even though I've never seen the Austin Powers movies in their entirety, like, it was such like a cultural moment that like, I knew who Austin Powers was. I knew the song. Baby. There was dance. It was like a whole thing. But I just love that in the year 2021, Austin Powers is just alive and well in Australia. And like, can you imagine just having to like do this dance in a theme park?
I want to be him so bad.
Oh my God, I would do it every day. I would look forward to this every day.
And another video I saw
if we didn't bring this up, but you gotta tell it.
So
who is in this movie?
This is one of those. So Joe, I don't know if you know this or not, but my wife's actually in Austin Powers. Because
out of
she was
all the movies you could tell me to associate with Danielle, Austin Powers would not be on that list.
Right, but so it's funny, if you actually watch this opening scene. One of her really good friends, Jen, is in the dance sequence. So back in the day, the story, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, they were all part of a dance troupe and they would work on films and stuff like that. And so she's in a bunch of films randomly. Every once in a while, she'll tell me, she's like, oh yeah, I was in that movie. I was like, what? How do we know this? But yeah, there is there's moments when during holiday parties, if a TV's on, I'll just go over there and I'll just casually pop on Austin's Powers or one of the movies. And she'll just shake her head at me and be like, why do you have to bring this up? But it's so cool. Every once in a while, I ask her, like, what was it like being on set with these people? And she's like, yeah, it's fun. You know, it's just what she did for a while.
I fucking love it.
Decided not to do it.
So funny.
All right. So let's strap in and let's watch the trailer for Speed 3 Flight Risk.
Awesome.
It would be coming from James Cameron. Wow.
Of course, man. Is that Teresa Palmer?
I need you to listen very carefully. I put a bomb on a plane. And if that plane drops below,
that was a shot from...
It's going to explode.
That's Air Force One.
And about taking the bus.
Agent on the plane. I know just the guy.
What do you mean?
Remember the bomb of the bus? Guess what? Now it's on the plane.
LOL.
Also, shout out to her doing the Keanu Reeves impression. I'm getting major
deja vu. Whoa.
It's me. I can assure you, absolutely nothing is going to happen.
Oh my god.
Can we speak from experience? I was a flight attendant.
This is the captain speaking. We have an emergency. There's a bomb on the plane.
What?
If any passengers have previous experience operating vehicles with bombs, then please come to the cockpit.
I trust you, Annie. Now fly that plane.
That is the worst, best.
He's the one who like gravity. That's awesome.
GPS is down.
Give me a
visual. I told you nothing. I see nothing.
Speed 3, the light risk. Sometimes it's better to take the bus.
Wow. Also, I just remembered his character's name was Jack Traven. That's ridiculous.
So that might have been the best content we have ever seen ever on the internet.
It's so good.
This channel's called VJ4RAR2. And they have other videos, including Titanic 2, Return of Jack, Home Alone, Christmas Reunion, The Nanny Returns, Lion King Reborn, and Titanic 2, Never Let Go.
God, oh my gosh. God, I love this.
Oh my God.
Well, I think we need it.
You need a speed 3?
We need a speed 3. And I think idea of going from bus to plane, the perfect kind of escalation that we need.
I mean, I feel like Keanu is a little busy right now. What with the fact that he's bringing back the Matrix and he's got the John Wick series that he's doing 4 for 4 on. But I mean, the man can do anything. He never ages, so why not? And Sandra Bullock's got a great career still. She's still a huge name. We can get this going, man.
She doing?
She's probably producing a lot of stuff, and she's probably working on the Bird Box too. What was that movie called where she had to walk around without
the bird?
She had to put a bandana on her eyes and just walk around. Remember, everyone was doing that challenge, and I was like, I don't understand this.
We did that challenge.
We did not do that challenge. We did a version of that challenge that later, because I was like, yeah, this all sounds great. And then I think I saw other people do the challenge. And I was like, oh, we didn't do anything close to that challenge. We did something completely different. Andy, all we did was blindfold Andy and make him taste juice boxes or something like that.
God bless us.
We are completely ridiculous. Yeah, that was a good podcast.
We got it.
We got time for one more.
You got time for one more? All right, let's do one more. This question comes from...
Even though we didn't really answer the last one.
No, we didn't answer
it. What was the last one?
The last one was DC and Marvel.
Just took a turn.
We talked about it.
Listen, you want someone to sit here and grill you and get answers out of you? Tell Greg Miller to host this fucking podcast. But today, I'm hosting the podcast. The Patreon questions, spoilers, were like thought starters for us. So, you know, we're putting... If Greg Miller is like, Tim, you'll appreciate this. Let me see if I can nail this without completely going off keel. Greg Miller is like the MCU pre-Loki, right? It's just one stream. Everything's continuous. Everything makes sense. Me, I'm like after Loki. Now we're branching off into all of these different variants and variables and all these things. And that's why people like it. I have it on good authority right now that if you post in the comments of this that Nick is the best Kind of Funny podcast hosts, that would be cool. I'll see it.
On good authority. Good authority.
Madeline, that exposure says, just celebrated my birthday over the weekend and had such a wonderful time. This led me to some interesting birthday themed questions. Number one, what was your favorite childhood birthday/birthday party? Number two, what has been your favorite adult birthday? And number three, what is the best birthday present you have ever given? Not received, given. Now I'll say this, we can answer any of those questions. I don't know if you guys have to go down line.
Guys, I am so sorry to hijack this, but I'm about to tell a fucking
thought starters.
Story.
Thought
I'm
starters.
About, no, I'm going to answer this question. At least I think it is. Whatever the question was, what I heard was birthday memories.
Yeah.
And I have a birthday memory that is it's a lot
taking,
to take
Tim,
in.
I'm taking my socks off for this. I'm taking my socks off for this because my feet are sweaty. Let's go.
It's a disturbing story that at the end of the day doesn't make much sense, but it happened and it's real. Okay.
Okay.
I was a young Tim Geddes. So young that I was a Timmy Geddes.
When I was a young Tim Geddes.
Exactly. Timmy Geddes, I must have been maybe.
How long did you go by Timmy?
Long time, because there was another Tim that I didn't really like in elementary school. So up until middle school, up until sixth grade.
Okay. Did you ever think about going by Tea Time? Tea Time.
No, I didn't.
What about Timothée Chalamet? Did you ever think about Timothée Chalamet?
I went by Timoteo a lot, but that was because of Kevin's family.
Ah, that makes sense.
For a long time. So I grew up with Kevin's family, who I'm about to bring into the story, because we are having a birthday party for me.
Uh-huh.
For little old me. Mm-hmm. I think I must have been turning five. Maybe turning four, but I think I was turning five at this point. No, it must have been four. I'm going to say it's four.
I'll say four, final answer.
All right, thank you.
It's fun, a friend.
I did not. You know how little kids sometimes can be freaking punk ass little shits when it comes to their birthdays? It's like, oh, it's all about you. And I'm like, I don't want this all about me. Don't make me do this thing. Hey, let's go to Kevin's mom's house. I don't want to do that right now. You know what I mean? Even then, I was young enough, old enough to know. Mm-mm. On my terms only, okay? No, I was forced to do this thing. Didn't want to fucking do it. So what I decided to do, you guys, I don't know why I'm telling the story. I really don't. I can choose right now to turn back and not say what I'm about to say.
We can edit this whole thing out.
We're in the circle of trust, tree of trust.
God, I'm so sorry. I'm having an internal debate right now if I should tell the story.
No, you need to tell it.
Does it involve you shitting someplace that you weren't supposed to shit?
Kind of.
Then you have to tell the story, because I told Joey, because remember Joey was like, Nick, tell me all the intimate details of your bowel movements. And I was like, Joey, that makes me uncomfortable, but I will share those with you and 10,000 to 30,000 to 40,000 other people. What did you do when you were 4 years old? You're not responsible for your actions.
Under the dining room table.
Oh no, you shit under
there. And I just like was like, I'm staying here.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you guys. I'm not coming out. Mm-hmm. This is my birthday party and I can cry if I want to.
Yep.
It's true.
Yep.
There is an acceptable age where like under a table is like a cool thing though. Like where it's like a fun like fort toy. Yeah.
Totally.
Kind of thing.
Totally. I wasn't treating it that way though. Normally I'm right there with you. I was a big fort boy, but no. This time I was trying to prove a point. This was like a
fort boy,
you know, picket fence situation.
I don't like that. We're not using the word fort boy ever again. I don't know what it means, but anytime you put boy on something,
we're talking about Timmy here. Okay,
we're talking about Timothée. Little Timmy,
under this damn table, just being a little punk. Honestly, I was such a fuck, and they were pissing me off. They were trying to get me out, and it was just making me even more angry. So I had the brilliant idea to take a shit underneath that dinner table. All right, but the story gets worse, you guys.
This is a great story.
I didn't want to do it.
By the way, this needs to be a headline. That time Tim took a shit underneath the table at his birthday party.
This one is, and that's not how the story ends. It's somehow so much worse.
Did you poop in your pants?
No, it's worse. It's worse.
Oh, God.
This story is only for the people listening. This is only for the people listening, okay? Tree of trust.
Tree of trust. We're tree of trust. We're circle of trust right now.
So I wanted to do this to prove a statement, but I also didn't want to do it because it's weird.
What is the statement that you're proving, by the way?
I like fuck the people around me. That was my statement. Okay. Like, y'all made me do this shit. This is bullshit.
Yes.
Like, you're not going to control my birthday. So I convinced my brother to take a shit under the table that I took credit for.
I need a couple details. Dare I ask? Did he pull his pants down and just poop on the floor?
How old was Kluger at this point?
2.5 or 3.
Oh man.
Okay.
Did he get caught for it? Did someone like that?
I got caught for it. I accepted credit for it.
Could you just not go to the bathroom at the time, or were you just like, you know, cool Greg, that's his
pooper? I'm gonna be honest with you in every way. None of this was a good idea. None of this makes sense. I was a dumbass little kid.
Oh, we're not. I'm not judging you for this. You're 4 years old. You can't
What I'm saying. I don't remember the details. Oh,
I see.
You know,
I
do remember being like, this would be a good point to make. Fuck this shit. Yeah. But also, I'm not in a position to do that right now for whatever reason.
Can I ask
a
follow-up question?
But I did take credit for it. Yes.
After the poop, what's the fallout?
I don't remember. I don't remember anything.
Do you remember? Because this is the kind of shit you do when you're a kid, and your parents go, "Oh my, I can't believe he did this," and then you're like, this is the most important statement I've ever made in my life.
Yeah.
I'm standing my ground. I have shit on this table. I do underneath this table. I do not in any way, shape, or form ever want to be put in this situation again or treated like this ever again. And then 5 minutes later, you're eating cake like nothing happened. That's how kids always are. Every time I'm around kids, that's what they are. The whatever's happening is nuclear. It is fucking new. This is the most important. Hey, shiny ball. And they're just gone. That's
Can't wait. Can't I apologize to everyone for bringing that story into their lives.
That is
definitely
a great story.
Definitely apologize to my brother. I don't know if I've ever formally apologized to him for this.
That. There's no way Cool Greg remembers that.
No, Cool Greg's demanding a certified letter to be written.
And also, Cool Greg was two. It was there's a 90% chance he was probably going to poop his pants that day anyway. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You guys were kids. It's not like it would be different if you were like, I was 17 years old and Cool Greg was 14. Yeah,
totally.
And
totally,
I made him
totally.
Take a shit under a table. That would be a different story. But yeah. That's actually kind of an endearing, cute story when you were a kid.
Yeah. No, see, you took it that way.
Oh, yeah. I don't have any. I mean, birthday parties. Birthday parties were always just happy memories. I mean, my mom would always have people over. She always did a really good job of throwing parties for me when I was a kid. And then I think the last birthday party I threw, I think you guys were there, was my 40th. And yeah. I was like, oh, this is super fun. I got all my friends here. We're all hanging out and we're just looking forward to 2019, right? We're just like, let's get this done. And then 2 months later, we're in COVID. We're in lockdown. So that was like, wow, that was a thing we did.
Yeah. Well, yeah, crazy.
Joey, any fun birthday stories that you have right now before we round out the podcast?
Yeah. So my birthday is complicated. As you know, my birthday isn't Christmas, which means that we pretty much never do anything for my birthday on my birthday.
Does Jesus
ever
call? But
that worked out.
Does he ever call? Like,
you know, he doesn't.
I have the same birthday as Naomi and we text each other every year. I'm like, happy birthday. She goes, happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. Never get a no text messages from Jesus. Nothing coming down from heaven. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. But as a kid, that just meant that like we kind of at some point just decided like we're just going to celebrate my half birthday, which means that puts me January 25th or not January. That's the wrong month. June 25th, which right after school gets out, people are in a party mood. It's usually good. Before people are leaving for vacation. Tim understands this. Tim has
June 30th birthday, baby. 30th, I love it.
Birthday. It's a great birthday.
So my favorite thing, I have no idea even how my parents came up with this, but there was like a hotel in San Jose where I was living at the time. And like, I don't know, I was in elementary school at this point, but they would do these like birthday suite packages where like my parents could rent a hotel room for a night and it was a suite. So it had like it had two bedrooms and it had a living room. I think maybe just one bedroom and a living room. But so I just had like four of my friends come over and we would just like swim in the pool all the time.
Awesome.
And then have like a sleepover in the living room in a hotel. And I just thought that was the coolest. I think I did it for like 3 years straight.
That's
like all I wanted to do was like, we're going to play mermaids and we're going to dive for those dive sticks in the pool. And we're going to eat ice cream cake.
God, those dive sticks.
This is peak. So this is peak excitement for like 7-year-old Joey.
Man. When the world was just so much more simple back then. I have memories that too. I'm like, here's my plan for the day. You're a kid, right? Here's my 10-step plan for the day. Step one, wake up. Step two, put on bathing suit. Step three, just be in the pool. Just always in the pool all day long. We're playing, Barrett, I'm talking, we're going to play some Marco Polo.
Hell yeah.
We're going to dive. We're going to dive. If there's something at the bottom of the pool, Joe.
Dive sticks were great for that, man.
I gotta dive and get that thing right.
We're putting something in and we're going
right.
There's the obligatory step five where you don't want to get out of the pool, but your mom's like, you gotta get out of the pool.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to get out of the pool. You're getting pruny. I gotta get out of the pool. They put you get out of the pool. It's a negotiation, right? If you get out of the pool now and have some lunch, we'll put some sunscreen on, you can go back for the rest of the time. No, I'm gonna find a table, shit underneath it, and that's gonna tell you, that's gonna show you what I'm all about. And then eventually you wind back up in the pool. And then she was right because your son burned the next day. And mom was always right. But I
have also had two movie themed birthday parties. I want you guys to just throw out, if you were to pick movies showing to have a themed birthday.
What years are we talking? So I know I have a context.
We are talking, I can pull up the exact years.
Okay. Now give me a little hint. Are we talking like anything before this or around that time period?
We're talking, so one is when I was a kid. One's 1997.
1997.
Batman and Robin, 100%.
100%.
One is, I must have been in high school for the second.
Also Batman and Robin. Also a Batman and Robin.
Mean Girls.
Ooh, that's a good guess.
Jurassic Park.
none of these really Joey movies, but I just find it incredibly funny. The first one from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Flubber.
Yo, Flubber. Flubber fucking took over the goddamn world at the moment, because we had Nickelodeon that was just like, okay, slime is cool, we love this. And then Disney was like, we got Robin Williams and we're gonna make fucking dancing living slime, and you're gonna fucking watch that movie and watch them dance to the goddamn Chips Ahoy song, and you're gonna be so invested that you're gonna want to buy all of it.
Yeah, my mom.
I had like a little like, oh, it was like almost like a Beanie Baby, but it was Flubber, and I was like, this is it,
this is it,
we're having green jello for dessert. This is what we're gonna go see, Flubber. So that was the first one. The second one, when I was in high school, questionable, really timely at the time, Napoleon Dynamite. It was a surprise 16th birthday.
Oh no, that was huge. Everyone did something Napoleon.
A lot of tater tots, a lot of chapstick. Oh
god, tater tots. I would, you know what's funny is like, would you guys believe that every day, every single day, I read through a BuzzFeed list? I don't know why I do it. I just do it. It's one of those lists where it's like, people online are talking about these celebrities and I'm losing my shit or whatever, but whatever the same fucking format BuzzFeed. Anyway, John Heder came up and they were like, whatever. It was one of those like, what happened to people who got typecast as roles? And I always felt bad for him, man. I was like, that Napoleon Dynamite was, it's a fun movie, right? Do we look fondly about that movie?
I haven't watched it in years, so I have not.
I liked it. I watched it.
I thought it was funny at the time for sure.
Yeah, I went on what's up?
I think Napoleon Dynamite gets looked back more as the negativities about the cultural resonance less than the negativity towards the movie itself.
So the content's okay. It's just why did we, everyone woke up one day and were like, what the fuck was, what were we thinking?
It was like kind of the first awakening of like the modern hipster like movie movement, you know?
Where the highways.
Yeah, because this is like super weird.
Good movie, but same idea.
Also, just like,
here's the thing about Juno, right? It's like a lot of these movies, good movie, but that was more of a indie film. Napoleon Dynamite was like, it was a weird fucking movie, man. Yeah. It was strange. Like, you go back and watch it, you're like, this is not happening in reality, right? Like, this is like a fever dream of something that's going on,
caps off with the best scene ever.
The tetherball scene?
The tetherball scene, but also like the, I forget if it's an after credit scene or whatever, but it's when the brother gets married to LaFonda and he sings like the song to her like right before.
Yes,
yeah.
I love technology.
I love technology, but not as much as you and me.
Just you and me.
I love
always and forever.
And I'm always a fan of Rex Quando. That what's his name?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's homie from everything. He's got the funny name that we can never remember.
Rex Quando. Oh gosh. Yeah. What's his name?
It's like Jean-Pierre de la Poupoupou or something like that.
Oh, who is that actor?
You'll look it up.
Yeah, I'm looking it up. I'm figuring it out.
He plays Batman. Haley Duff
is in there for some reason.
Haley Duff, dude. Shout out.
Diedrich Bader. He's like the roommate or like the neighbor in Office Space, right?
I think. Oh, he's that guy in Office Space. He's the security guard from James and Bob. He was on, I think, the Drew Carey show for a hot second.
Yes.
Or for a long period of time. He's everywhere. It's either one episode, Tim, or he was a regular on the show. Yeah. I cannot remember that show. That was definitely one of those shows that the Drew Carey show is one of those shows I have seen every single episode of. I cannot in any way, shape, or form remember anything that happened on that show.
I was really confused growing up because in the 90s there was a lot of people playing all the same characters, you know, of like maybe it was just Eddie Murphy, but like the Nutty Professor.
It was, right? It was in all of his movies. Yeah.
And I was convinced, I never really watched Drew Carey, but I thought that Drew Carey was also the woman from the Fairy Show.
Yeah.
I don't know her name, but I thought they were the same person. I thought it was like the same person.
Like, and it's him and makeup?
Absolutely not. And then years later, I looked at the picture. I'm like, I was a fucking idiot for thinking that. Like, they don't look like each other at all.
Yeah, well, she was also playing an outrageous character, too. So it wasn't like that character was, if memory serves correctly, like kind of, she was like the antagonist, very antagonistic the whole time, kind of larger than life character.
Yeah. I remember watching Drew Carey show a lot when I was a kid. That was something that, like, you know, mom's cooking dinner and it's like we're just kind of hanging out and she put something on in the background. That's what would pop on. I remember the intro because, of course, Cleveland rocks. We lived there at the time. Yeah. I could not tell you what the fuck that show was about. I'm going to be honest.
I think he worked in an office. That's the best I
can. Yeah, that's like I have like a screenshot in my brain of what that show was. And they're just like all in an office. and that's really all I got. I mean, feel like David Spade was on an episode, maybe. I don't know.
I feel like maybe they had a monkey, maybe there wasn't. No, that was Friends. Now I'm thinking about Friends. Friends had Marcel.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Earlier I was saying that like the Father of the Bride and Speed I thought were like classic movie, like the standard of movies because my parents watched them.
Yeah.
TV, similar thing. Spin City. The show Spin City.
Oh, Michael J. Fox. Now
I haven't heard a single person ever mention the show ever, but I thought it was like as popular as Game of Thrones.
No.
That's what that's what Bill Lawrence worked on before Scrubs, yeah. I think.
Possibly. I just remember I always conflate or confuse Spin City with News Radio. Now, News Radio is a very beloved show. It did not do well, but people that watched it, like myself, hold that in very high regard as far as being like one of the better made sitcoms, situational comedies of the, God, I want to say like early 90s. I don't even know when that show was on. But that was one of those like, you had some bangers in that show. You had Dave Foley. You had, what's his name? Phil Hartman before he passed away, unfortunately. That was the show he passed away on. But I used to love that show. But I was confused that with the one that Charlie Sheen was on and then the one that Michael J. Fox was on. Those all kind of
Spin City.
That was Spin City.
Both the same show.
Okay. Wait, Michael J. Fox and Charlie Sheen were on Spin City?
Yeah. Michael J. Fox got replaced with Charlie Sheen, at least.
Yeah, because Michael J. Fox left the show because of
the Parkinson's?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. That's when he came out with Parkinson's. He says, I had Parkinson's, right? Or do we know that beforehand?
I don't think we did.
No, I don't think we did.
Oh, man. By the way, I mean, Michael, first off, we love Michael J. Fox. Fucking love him.
Oh,
but shout out for him. I think the other day I watched that episode he was on of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I don't remember that one.
He's awesome on that. He's great in it. It reminded me of that because I was listening to an episode of a podcast with JB Smooth on it. And so now I've got Curb Your Enthusiasm on the brain. Got to go back and probably catch up on that.
Yeah. So I was right. That was the show that Bill Lawrence worked on before Scrubs. And then I didn't know this is that he also worked on Clone High, which I know a lot of y'all really liked. I feel like, are they bringing that back? I feel like. And then he also went on later to like help create Ted Lasso. Like, shout out to Bill Lawrence. He's got a fucking.
Bill Lawrence. Yeah, I have no idea what Bill Lawrence looks like, but like,
I don't know Bill Lawrence at all. I just know that. Here. I just know Clone High was Chris Miller and Phil Lord, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was. Bill Lawrence was an executive producer, and he was like, it was created by Phil Lord and Miller, and I think Bill Lawrence was like the one that helps them like get it off the ground and stuff.
That's cool. I like that a lot. Right on. Well, hey everyone, very productive podcast. I feel like we covered a lot and somehow talked about absolutely nothing, which is the Kind of Funny podcast. Happens here twice a week here on youtube.com/kindoffunny. Hey, if you listen to this, you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel yet, think about subscribing because we're almost at 300,000 subs. I'm pretty excited about that. That is a huge milestone, at which point Andy will finally come out of the snake pit. Once we hit 300,000 subscribers, if you want to see Andy's face again, we will buy some snake killer and help him out. Of course, if you're listening to us on podcast services around the globe, please give us a nice little rating and make sure you subscribe to those feeds as well. And if you want to help us out monetarily without viewing, or actually you can view, go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny where we do a post show to this podcast, which we're about to do right now. Until then, I love you.